This is your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane and famous Exxon gasolines. The wake-up call is also brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. Now with your host, Rick Moore.
That is me. Thank you so much for joining in. It's a beautiful place to be on a rainy Sunday morning. The first Sunday in May, it's the third. Or at least that's what my calendar told me when I left the house. And hopefully it's the third out at the Lovingston folks' home, 94.7. Thank you for listening in. Let me thank some folks who allow us to be here today. Support coming from NBC 29, using state-of-the-art forecasting tools to bring you comprehensive up-to-the-minute weather on all NBC 29 HD newscasts. The WNRN studio monitors NBC 29's HD local weather channel all the time at 29.2 to keep you informed. For accuracy, dependability, and experience, you can count on NBC 29 News and Weather. And in case you were looking for some place to eat today, Irish Alley Restaurant and Pub, serving lunch and dinner in downtown Stanton. The Irish Alley features a variety of cuisine for brunch on Sunday. You can dine inside or out on the patio. Irish Alley also offers a selection of local beers. Private parties of up to 40 can be accommodated at the Irish Alley, a non-smoking establishment across from the Byer Street parking lot, Stanton. For more info, it's golookon.com. Anyway, here we are today. I think what's going to be a very interesting program, not that they all aren't, but today we're going to have something that's got a little more emotion to it, I believe. We're going to talk with some folks, put some real voices on the loss of jobs in our area. Let's do a little test on the microphones. Ms. Marshall, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
You're going to have to get so much closer to that microphone, so much. Turn down the aura. Again?
How about that?
That's much better. Stephanie Marshall here today, one of the owners of M3 Masonry. Correct?
Marshall Contracting and Masonry.
Marshall Contracting and Masonry. See, that's why I ask you to speak right away, so I can get rid of all my mistakes as early as possible. And we also have Amelia Williams here. Amelia, how are you?
I'm doing fine, thanks.
I want to say, formerly of PRA, Pharmaceutical Research Associates, and currently...
Well, I'm currently freelancing and looking for work. So my business is inkville.biz.
Well, we'll see what we can do for you during the hour today in terms of that. So we have Stephanie Marshall here. We have Amelia Williams. We have a business owner. We have an employee. And we're going to put a voice to the problems that you've been reading about in the news, watching on TV, seeing in the newspaper. And we're going to do it from both sides, because I think for a lot of people, it'll be enlightening to hear both sides of the stories. But we're going to start with Amelia and talk about what it's like to lose the job. 979-0919 if you want to call up and ask your question, or better yet, tell your side of a similar story. 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. That's the toll-free number. We'll be taking some calls shortly. So, Amelia, you've lost your job. PRA International Associates, what's the proper name?
Pharmaceutical Research Associates, Inc. But it now goes by PRA International.
And give us the background. When did it happen? Did you see it coming?
Right. Well, it happened to me in November 2008, and I saw it coming, and then I thought I had been saved, and then it happened. So in a way, I was a little startled. I had been doing some work for a different department, and it looked like I was going to be able to make a lateral move, but then that... possibility was withdrawn. So then I was let go.
You say that you saw it coming. How much sort of advance notice did someone tell you, hey, we're going to have to make some decisions here, and it looks like you're going to be one of those let go? Or was it just rumor around, and you sort of paying attention to the happenings at work?
Well, it was in the air, there were people in my department who had been let go over the summer. The sort of middle management level had been reduced, and upper level managers, you know, had many more people to supervise, and there was some nervousness. And then somebody that I had helped get hired to the company in April was let go, and that's when it became pretty obvious that the function that we had been serving wasn't a core function of the company. And so I was pretty certain, you know, the writing was on the wall. And then, as I said, it did look like this lateral move to a different department was going to be possible. And then that was withdrawn.
Did anyone from the company come to you and say, this will be happening, or be aware that this might be happening? Or was this strictly something that was rumor and perceptiveness of your own?
No, I was let to know that it was a possibility.
With how much notice?
And I could see that. Oh,
I mean, are we talking a week, a month, seasonal?
Seasonal. I mean, sometime toward the end of September, early October, it was pretty clear to me that that was a strong possibility. So I had it in my mind and, you know, was already sort of in the process of grooming my mental state to look at it as a potentially positive thing.
So. Yeah, talk about that. How, you know, you're grooming yourself, you say. How... And by the way, folks, we are putting some real voices on job loss here. So be respectful of, you know, as you listen. I wouldn't expect any less, but I'm sitting here across from Amelia as we talk about this, and it looks to me as though there's a little emotion that's coming out just talking about the fact. No, that's going to be the difficulty within the hour as you call up and make your comment or ask your question. How were you grooming yourself for this?
Well, I am a writer and editor by trade, and since completing my PhD, which is in English literature, I've been doing medical writing either in-house or as a freelance or some kind of, you know, grant writing. I've had other writing positions, but that's really what I do. And when I came to PRA, I started doing the core writing function of a company like that. And I learned it, and it was good. And then I got tired of it. And I had a wonderful manager who allowed me to add on other skills and to kind of groom myself in a different direction. And the tricky thing is, I think I groomed myself out of that company. And I'd been thinking about that for a while. I mean, it wasn't beyond my horizon to think I should go back to freelancing, or I should look for something a little different that's in a little, you know, more in line with things I like to do and that I do best. When the company was doing well and when the economy was doing well, it looked like I was going to be able to take the skills I had been allowed to acquire and kind of create an in-house communications department for the company. And that's the direction we were headed. But, you know, then we hit this downturn in the economy, and I think it just, like I said, it didn't, the things that I was doing, although I think that they were valuable and they were earning some money, they weren't the core functions of the company, and the company's clients stopped wanting to pay for that stuff. And my colleague and I, the one who was let go earlier than me, who was a graphic designer, we weren't very busy. Neither were a lot of other people.
Did you feel that... let me back up. Do you consider this to be a layoff or a firing?
It was a layoff owing to economic conditions.
Okay, so yes, in your mind, if the economic conditions were to turn around in 2009, that as a former employee, that you might be offered the job on January 1st, 2010, if economics took the company back to that place?
I suppose it's possible that somebody could decide that, yeah, the stuff that we had been doing was valuable to clients. When they had money for extras, they paid for it happily, time after time after time. So, yeah, I guess it's a possibility.
Do you think that the layoff was done in a fair manner, both to you in terms of fair in the way that it was done to you? And by that, I sort of think of the breakup. There's the person who sends you the breakup by phone or by text or by email, and then there's the person who comes to you and you do that face-to-face. So was the layoff done in a fair manner? And then there's the set of was it done to the right people, where you're sitting at home going, well, you know, I don't understand why that – I've been there longer than that person. You know, is it strictly based on money or is it based on skills or, you know, talent or et cetera? So, you know, what's your thought on that?
Well, without knowing the totality of exactly how many people were let go and what functions they held, I have two ideas on that. One is that people who were let go who were more expensive, who had been there longer, and whose function wasn't in the highest demand anymore. So a kind of combination of the two. Where there was less work, people were let go. Where there was an option to let go a more expensive employee, of course, they took that option, I think. Now, you know, I don't have the statistics on that, so how would I know?
We are talking about job loss in a local area, Real Voices on the Job Loss in the Central Virginia area. Here listening to us chat with Amelia Williams, formerly of PRA in the north side of our Charlottesville area. And your current business, your freelance business again?
Inkville Writing and Editing, and the URL is inkville.biz.
There you go. Let's make sure to toss that out a few times during the hour to see what becomes of that. Short-term and long-term revisions in your life. You said this happened back in November, but you saw it coming a few months before that?
Yeah, I did. I mean, I was in a strange situation. I had actually been given what I think is just a tremendous boon by the company, which is to say I had a dream of traveling the country with my children and going camping and circling the country and going to the national parks. And I brought that to my manager a year ago and said, I want to do this. And she said, we'll see if we can help make that happen. So we, you know, hired somebody who could do a lot of the stuff that I was doing. And when I traveled, I worked from the road, but I took my hours down. And so I was actually away over the summer when a lot of things were happening in the company that I would have known about. A lot of turmoil, a lot of management change, and some people were already being let go. So, but when I got back, the lay of the land was made pretty clear to me. And, you know, I appreciate that. And so I wasn't, like I said, I wasn't completely startled. I did think that a solution was in the works. I wasn't actually sure that I was going to be happy with that solution, but it seemed like something I should try since I'm the primary breadwinner for my family. So I was going to make this lateral move, and then I was a little startled when I was told that that wasn't happening and I was being let go.
All right, here we are on WNRN. Feel free to dial up and ask a question if you would like, 979-0919-1877-WNRN-ROCKS. One of the other guests in the studio today comes from the other side, the business owner here in Charlottesville, Stephanie Marshall. And I've already failed to write down what I should have. I think I see it on a little card when I need to, and it says, M3 a masonry, but it's Marshall Masonry and Contracting.
Marshall Contracting and Masonry.
Yeah. So, as usual, I've shown my complete preparedness for the program. But please, I focused on the other part, on the questions, and I'll let the guests toss out their business names. Stephanie Marshall, you and your husband own your business.
Yes.
And so you have to go up to your employees and do the layoffs.
That's correct.
And I think for a lot of people, the vision is of this seesaw and who is being laid off, Amelia Williams, and who still has their job, Stephanie Marshall.
Mm-hmm.
But my conversation with you show that there's a lot more depth and meaning to that.
Yes.
Let's start as the business owner and the business itself. How far back do you have to go before you had a vision of things upcoming? Because for many people, it was March of 2008 when Bear Stearns collapsed.
Mm-hmm.
And then for many others, it was September of 2008 when many, many banks and other businesses had their problems, and it became more of a, I don't want to say a front page story, but when it became a greater, it was very obvious to people that this wasn't one business, two business. It was, wow, this is a national issue. Where does your business fall into that?
I think for us, we started thinking about layoffs back in November of 2008. We actually did not start laying any employees off until January. And to be perfectly honest, I think we probably kept a lot of employees on a lot longer than we probably should have. We were just finishing up a very large project, which was over at Albemarle High School. And we were hoping, we were bidding, which we still are, we're bidding projects. We were hoping that we would land a big project and we wouldn't have to lay anyone off. So in the hopes of that, another week would go by, more bidding would go in, we wouldn't hear anything, we would think we would hear from them the following week, so we would keep the employees on for another week and another week. We started talking to the employees back in January and told them the situation and what we were going through, and that we would try to give them as much notice as possible. And, you know, we were just hoping that we would land a big project and we wouldn't have to lay anyone off. But that wasn't the case. And we started laying people off in January. And we have laid 44 employees off since January. Our last layoffs took place about 2 weeks ago because we were still in the hopes of landing a decent-sized project so that we could keep these employees employed.
WNRN's Sunday morning wake-up call here as we talk with real people, real voices with the Central Virginia job loss. 11:20 here on the wake-up call. Markets of Tiger Fuel forecast for Central Virginia and the Shenandoah Valley. Cloudy with light rain throughout today. Highs 58 to 62. Rain and thunder tonight. Lows 55 to 60. Showers likely tomorrow. Highs 60 to 65, just in the upper 50s over in the valley. Right now, overcast, some rain in various areas. 57 in the valley, 62 in Lynchburg, 55 in Richmond, 55 in Charlottesville.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by The Hook and by the Markets of Tiger Fuel, a refreshing pause on your journey to anywhere with locations all over town. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
And let me take a moment and thank Been Around Tattoos in downtown Waynesboro, featuring male and female tattoo artists. Been Around Tattoos has thousands of designs available and can create work from a design that you provide. Piercing, also available. Been Around Tattoos in downtown Waynesboro or at 701 West Main Street here in Charlottesville. For more information, it's beenaroundtattoos.com. And this will tell me where to look for future questions, Steph, because WNRN and M3 Marshall Contracting and Masonry remind you that Live Arts is presenting Molière's Tartuffe. through the 23rd of May. The play is a comical critique of feigned religious piety and blatant hypocrisy. Originally banned by the Archbishop of Paris when first performed in 1664, more can be found at livearts.org. Events at Live Arts are publicized on WNRN in part with the support of M3 Marshall Contracting and Masonry. Thanks for that good work. Always nice to have folks who help out the area. All right, 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN Rocks. If you have a question or a comment on the topic of local job loss, and we have a couple voices in the studio today to take that to a more personal level. Stephanie, do you have flashpoints at the business that told you now this is what's happened that forces me to take this next negative step in my business?
Well, when you're bidding on projects, when you finally hear from a general contractor that you were not the apparent low bid or bidder on that project, and you know that that work is not coming, I guess you could probably call that a flashpoint and say, I don't have any projects, I don't have any work, nothing that's coming up in the next 2-3 weeks, so I'm going to have to make a decision, a drastic decision, and I'm going to have to lay some people off.
How many projects do you normally have going at one time? And how many do you have you had since November?
Well, we haven't had any large projects since November. We've picked up very small projects here and there that may take a day or two or maybe even a week, possibly take 3 or 4 employees to complete that project. But we have not had any, we have not landed any large projects since November.
And how many would you normally have?
Normally, depending on the size of the project, we may have 6 or 7 projects going at the same time, depending on, like I said, the size of the project.
I want to talk about this for a moment. I want to take away the owner part of this and put the human aspect to it. Because I think for many people, the owner, well, you still got your job.
But if I don't have my job, there is no possibility that any of the employees that I've laid off will ever have their job again either. So the one thing that I have to maintain is to try to keep the company afloat in the hopes that I do get a project and I can call those individuals back and rehire them and you know, we start projects again. So I think that's the difference that a lot of people say, well, you still have your job, but I am the company. My husband and I are the company. If we don't have our jobs, then the company no longer exists.
Is there, and I don't want to put words in Amelia's mouth, but the employee can blame the economy, and I'm sure some blame the owner.
Yes.
For choosing them as someone else or making poor financial decisions down the line. And Gary, hold on a sec. Do you... As the business owner, do you have an easy point or someone to blame?
The problem with being a business owner is the guilt always comes back to yourself. Have I done everything that I possibly can do as a business owner to keep these people employed? I've been on both ends. I've been laid off several different times from several different companies, and I'm not taking anything away from Amelia, but the guilt that's associated with an owner having to lay someone off, you are just, my husband and I have been physically sick over laying employees off. It's been the absolute hardest thing that either one of us has ever had to do, ever.
All right, ladies, put your headphones on. We have a call coming in. We have Gary. Hey, Gary.
Hey, good morning. Great show again, Rick. Just listening to the owner of the company, I am impressed to my heart at the compassion in her voice. We don't often hear that, see that reported in business news around the country, but that is chilling to hear her talk about how she and her husband care for their workers that they had to lay off. My question is more directed, though, to the PhD in English who got laid off. she seems like she's already up and running and got on her feet again, and you know, she's moving forward. I wondered if she feels that there's something that government, taxpayer-supported programs should have done for her or other employees that get laid off. And I'll just hang up and listen.
Well, I think government's doing it already. I mean, not that it's easy and that it isn't somewhat complex to fill out all the forms in that, but I'm receiving unemployment insurance, and I feel good about that because I've been an honest taxpayer for all my life, and this is the return, and so I'm happy about that. And health insurance was hard, however. We couldn't afford the COBRA payments, and we shopped around for a private plan, and we could afford it for a couple of months. But then I found out about a program that the state runs that I could put my children on, which is called FAMIS, F-A-M-I-S. So my kids are now on that state-supported health insurance program, and it's fabulous because they can get their medications, and that's making it possible for us to limp through. And then the recent stimulus package with the 65% reduction on COBRA payments has allowed us to drop the private insurance, reapply because we're eligible for COBRA. And, you know, I'm sort of waiting to hear about that any day now, but that we'll be able to manage for a while at least.
Thanks, Gary. 1128 here on the wake-up call as we put real voices on job loss in our area. Stephanie Marshall, one of the owners of, let me pull out my cheat sheet, M3 Marshall Contracting and Masonry, and Amelia Williams, formerly employed by PRA, and now
Inkville Writing and Editing, and the website is inkville.biz, B-I-Z.
A little personal, private, freelance work during these times. 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCK. Stephanie, let me get back to you and your efforts with your employees. You said that you didn't have any business since November, but you didn't let your first employee go until January.
Yes.
Did you let them all go at one time?
No. We've let them go basically based on crews that are working. If a job shut down, we would talk to that crew, let them know that the job was coming to an end and that we didn't have anything in the works. We were still bidding on everything. There were still high hopes, and maybe they would only have to stay home for a week. But that's kind of how we let them go, was depending on the crew, where they were working, and when those particular jobs shut down, closed down.
How many employees did you have to start with?
How
many do you have now?
We had 52, I believe, at the highest point, and right now there's 10.
So 42 employees that you had to let go.
Yes.
And how did you make, if you didn't let them all go at one time, how do you make those decisions as the owner? Amelia told us that there was part of it was done, at least at her former employee, part of it was done by department, and part of it was done by pay. So how do you determine that?
We sat down with a list of all of our employees and which projects they were working on, and we made decisions based on last employees. I guess the latest employees that we had hired would be the first ones that we would let go on particular projects. It was never, ours was never, we never looked at ours as how much someone was making. You know, ours was never based on that. It was based on whether or not one of the Mason's wives worked and what type of job she had. Was I going to lay someone off that wife did not work and they had three children at home? I couldn't make that decision in January. I kept them longer than we had work for them because I knew that they were going to be collecting unemployment because their wives did not work. and it was going to be really rough on them. So the decision was based a lot on probably more emotion than it should have been, but we are a construction company that we actually pay for our employees' health benefits as well. We talked about cutting the health benefits, maybe some of the other benefits that we offer, as far as we have 6 paid holidays and we have vacation. And like I said, we're still holding out to hear back from several different general contractors. And I may be able to make a call on Tuesday or Wednesday and hire my employees back, which would be like Christmas.
All right, ladies, we do have another call. And we have Nancy from Charlottesville. Hi, Nancy.
Hi, Rick. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for dialing us in. What you got?
I'm just adding to Amelia's comments, because I also was laid off from PRA last November. And I do appreciate the owner of the business you have on there, because she is quite passionate. PRA, on the other hand, is a large corporation, and you get treated a little bit differently. I thought it was very impersonal the way that they told us that we were laid off. I kind of had a feeling it was coming, too, although I didn't know it was for me, but there was the workload was lacking. So I just felt like the day they told us, they... 3 people and myself from my department were laid off, and they brought us into a room all together at the same time to tell us that they were laying us off, which I disagree with, because people react differently to losing their job, and I just thought it was very impersonal. I do think that the woman with her own business is much more compassionate, and it's just a different experience.
Nancy, is this the first time that you have been laid off?
No, I was laid off back in the 90s, early 90s also.
And the difference between the two incidents?
I just found PRA to be very impersonal about it. I know it's a large corporation. They have lots of employees. They had to make economic decisions. I get that part of it. I just find it to be... kind of demeaning to put me in a room with 3 other people and tell us, well, we no longer have a job for you. You know, I'd rather do a face-to-face with the manager or the HR person or somebody else.
And the short-term effect on yourself and your family?
Well, I was just, it took me a while to just regroup. Like Amelia said, health insurance is the biggest problem I had, but with the stimulus package and having the reduction in COBRA payments, that's helped a lot. And I also receive unemployment, and I'm just looking for a job. And, you know, I know it's tough times everywhere, so I have to have a little bit of patience.
Nancy, thanks very much for calling in, and good luck in the search.
Thanks, Rick.
All right, 11:35 here on the Wake Up Call. Dial us up. Tell your story. Ask your questions. 979-0919, 1-877 WNRN Rocks. Stephanie, as the job owner, again, an attempt to let people know that this is not just a... Well, that's fine. You go. I mean, it's not just dropping your pen and seeing whose name gets marked. You said it made you and your husband physically ill to have to do this. But what else? I'm sure that there's much more. How else has it affected you and your company and your family? Because I would think that, fine, you still have a job. But if there's no profit being made, that also affects you just as, I mean, you are a worker for your company.
Mm-hmm.
How has this affected you as a family member?
I mean, I think it's affected our family just like it has any other family. I mean, you start cutting into the niceties of the things that you would do on a monthly basis. You don't go on vacation. You don't go out to eat. You don't spend a lot of money frivolously. You try to cut back on everything that you can, and you know, your kids may not be able to go to camp this summer. So, I mean, there's things that you know, as a family, you sit down and talk about, and I mean, it's affected us, you know, not as much, of course, as my employees who have been laid off, but it's affected us as well, because we don't have, you know, any income coming in right now. We're basically, you know, living off the residuals of last year's projects and some of the projects that have come in. But it's, you know, it's rough for everyone.
If there's something that you can tell the listeners that removes this stigma, and it seems based on the callers that you're doing that removes the stigma of being the business owner, mm-hmm. who's affected differently, what do you tell people in general conversation or just who are listening today?
Well, I mean, as far as, it's just like I said before, I mean, if I wind up losing my job and my husband loses his job, the company is shut down and we will have to find other ways to make a living. And so that takes out the opportunity that the 44 employees that I previously had would never come to work for us. So I do have to do, both of us, we both have to do everything that we possibly can to keep the company open and at least our head above water until we can all get through this economic crisis that we're going through right now. And hopefully in 3 or 4 months, or I'm hoping before then, that I do get a project and I can make those phone calls and hire those employees back. As far as, I guess, talking to people, I've been in the situation where I worked for AT&T years ago, and they brought us all into a room and laid us all off as well. And I mean, I've taken all the experiences that I've had as an employee and tried to put those into the company, which is why our company, as a construction company, does offer benefits. There are a lot of construction companies that don't offer benefits. So I've tried to take all the experiences that I've had as an employee and maintain those as a business owner, and I would never bring all of my employees into a room and lay them all off and not give anyone any notice, because I know how that feels. And there's a lot of, could I have done anything differently? I mean, as far as an employee, could I have been, you know, could I have worked harder? Could I have done things differently that, you know, would have made me keep my job? Those sort of things. I try to let my employees know that there is nothing that they could have done. There's nothing that they could not have worked any harder. They could not have done their job any better. It's just, that's what it is right now. We have no projects. We have no work. So I cannot keep them employed right now.
All right, 11:39 here in the wake-up call. Stephanie, I know you've got to step out. I believe we have somebody else who's going to step in just a moment. So let me do this.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by the Markins of Tiger Fuel and by The Hook, an innovative weekly on newsstands every Thursday. Now here's Rick with what you can find in this week's Hook.
Oh, this week, lawsuits, infighting, and liens. Will these be the landmark hotel's legacy? An in-depth look at the troubles plaguing what should have been downtown Charlottesville's crowning structure. Think you're safety savvy? If smoke detectors are the only detectors in your house, you need to learn more. And what's up with that yellow truck selling late night hot dogs? The Hook has the answer. The Hook, reminding you that next Sunday is Mother's Day. Be prepared. And let me thank Blue Ridge Mountain Sports for being with us today. The staff at Blue Ridge do area runs and hikes themselves and can help you with anything you need to know and fit you with the footwear, gear, and performance clothing to fit your outdoor pursuits and lifestyle. Blue Ridge Mountain Sports is in the Barracks Road Shopping Center here in Charlottesville. They have two locations in Richmond and at brms.com. And additional support coming from 45fix.com. If you have a home improvement project, there's another way to find a contractor. It's 45fix.com. From remodeling to repair projects, immediate, no obligation estimates are available anytime. That's 45fix.com, the number 4, the number 5, and the word fix.com. And we also want to remind you here from the station Those of you who made the pledges to the just-completed fund drive and haven't paid them yet, please do so as soon as possible. People who can take your payment and help you with your premiums are usually here until 7 p.m. on weekdays, and we can stay later if you call first. We're at 2250 Old Ivy Road here in Charlottesville behind the Ivy Inn restaurant. The zip code is 22903 if you're mailing it in. The first round of written reminders to those with unpaid pledges have gone out. But thanks again to those who've already honored their pledge. Help us reach over 94% collection on the over $94,000 pledged. All right. Drew Thompson just walked in the room. I think Les Temps-Perdue is up next. All right. Back to the topic at hand as we put some real voices on the real topic here of job loss. Stephanie left, but we have Amy Keenan here from Casey Concrete, another family-owned business. Amy, I know that you heard a lot of what we were talking about. How many employees does Casey Concrete, or how many did you have at your peak in 2008?
Let's see here. It was, I want to say around, it was 20.
20? A little louder, a little closer.
Oh, it was about 20.
And how many now?
We are down to six.
Down to six.
Yes.
And the method that you used in letting people go, the decision-making process, and then the method that you used?
Well, it's the same as Stephanie's. You know, if there's nothing for them to do, there's nothing for them to do. In the past, we have kept them busy doing something, you know, until something else started up, but that's... You can't do that right now.
And have you had to let people go before? And not the firing terms. I would think that any business owner has had to fire people at some point. But have you had to lay anyone off before this recent process?
No. I mean, it always slows down a little bit in the wintertime, so you may have a couple of layoffs in the wintertime, but not like this, no.
Because construction is generally a seasonal business.
It is. We're due commercial, so you know we try to stay busy all year round. But it is seasonal.
Amelia, let me get back to you. We are here, by the way, talking with Amelia Williams, formerly of PRA, Pharmaceutical Research Associates, and now we have Amy Keenan, who stepped in from Casey Concrete, another family-owned construction business. Amelia. You said that you knew that it was coming. You knew that the layoff was coming. If you do find another job, you're currently doing some freelance work.
I'm looking for freelance work. I can't. Yeah.
Do you have any freelance work yet, or are you just?
Have
you set up the business and waiting?
I've set up the business, and I have one piece of work that I've just started on, and it's small.
And so from November is when you lost the job at PRA?
Yeah, and I've been looking for jobs, you know, I'm that's what I spend my time doing.
That's
I make
6 months.
Yeah, I make job application after application after application for things that I'm qualified for and that I could reasonably do. And I'm even, you know, I'm sort of branching out. I mean, there's experience that I have that and I've also had a desire to do more kind of public service type work. So, you know, one of the things that I'm looking at is, health care organizations who may be looking for people to manage projects, to do fundraising and grant writing, to be a project coordinator, director, volunteer coordinator, that kind of work, because I have that experience in my background. So, you know, I'm looking at all of the experience I've had over the course of my working life and seeing how it can fit into something that would be a possibility. And I have seriously considered positions and applied for positions that pay less than a third of what I was earning before. And, you know, nonprofit companies can't pay at the same rate that large corporations can, so I think that's fine. And, you know, I'm happy to do that because I need to stay local. That's the other thing that's really important is I'm not conducting a national job search because I'm not moving to Oregon or Philadelphia. I couldn't afford to live there anyway.
Amy, how many applications do you get? Or if it's the concrete business, I just have this vision of you don't have this formal paper application that gets filled out so you can count up the thank yous but no thank yous. But you must have a number, an image in your head that says, well, about this many people have come to see me. Or, you know, what are the basic numbers on job applicants for you that you've had to say, look, I'm sorry?
Well, it's funny because I am the one that answers the phone, and there are quite a few people that call in and want to know if we're hiring. And it's, I have to say no, not at this time. But, we've been keeping a list, and no.
You lean right into that microphone and answer my question.
Okay. But at this point, I don't know. It's starting to slow down, so I'm probably getting one a day.
Do you think that that's because there are other jobs out there, because people have moved on to other businesses, or are they just giving up?
No, I think they're kind of feeling down and giving up.
So Amelia's talked about getting I'm so stupid. I haven't had to deal with this yet. My company, thankfully, still has me employed. What do you call it when you say I'm having another one of my big brain farts on air?
Downsized?
No. When you get paid by the government. Job loss money.
Unemployment insurance.
Unemployment insurance. Thank you so much, everyone out there who's giggling at me. Does that happen? Is Casey Concrete a business? Because some businesses, you don't qualify for unemployment insurance. Do those folks who used to work for Casey Concrete, do they qualify?
Yes.
Do you, loudly and into the microphone,
yes.
Do you see those former employees? Do you have consistent conversations with them about how are you doing? Here's where we stand as a company in terms of potential rehiring.
Yeah, my husband probably talks to some of them. I mean, I know that, he runs around with his mobile, so I know he's... they're calling him and asking him.
And do you have a vision of, Stephanie said something about, the possibility of hiring, gosh, she hoped that Christmas time came this week and she would be able to call somebody. Do you have, a vision in your head about if we can only make it to June 1st, if we can, if only this bid comes in, do you have that?
Definitely. Oh, yeah.
And I don't mean that in a, sort of hopeful manner in terms of like, yes, please let me pray for that. I mean, yeah, when the weather picks up, it's going to happen. I'm aware of all these homes being built, and so there will be, how much faith is put into that and how much, truth is put into that?
Well, I mean, there's things going on, but we're also dealing with a whole lot of competition that we've never had before. People, coming in from all over the place.
What do you mean by competition? Are you talking about new businesses in this area or outside businesses?
No, they're outside businesses. And I don't know, how far away they're coming. I mean, you talk to people in, West Virginia, North Carolina, that's a long way to go.
And they're here applying because they need the business, too. There's not enough to keep them home.
That's right.
11:50 here on the Wake Up Calls. We talk about job loss and put some real voices on the business in our area. 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. Amelia Williams here as the employee laid off from a local area business. Stephanie Marshall and now Amy Keenan here talking about what it's like to be the business owner of a small business in our area and having to do the same thing. Amy, we were talking about businesses coming from outside the area. Call up with your question or comment, by the way, 979-0919. Here's a question that came in, or I guess this is more of a comment. Elizabeth says, says that she feels the contractor who got the downtown Charlottesville downtown mall rebricking job employs Hispanics who are not American citizens. What do you think of this as an American business owner? And then I have a part two to that. Even if they are, you know, let's assume, go ahead, answer that part first. What do you think of an employer who's hiring non-American citizen Hispanics and getting publicly publicly bid work?
I don't know. I mean, I thought they had to be documented, but I really don't want to talk about the whole downtown mall situation. That would be better for Stephanie.
All right, I've dragged Stephanie Marshall back in here.
Yeah,
because,
I don't.
Because let's say that they are American citizens, and I think that and I don't know about Elizabeth. She may know something that I don't. But let's say that they are American citizens. My understanding is that the Charlottesville downtown mall bid for the mall rebricking was actually given to someone out of our area. Amy, is that true? Do you know? I'm waiting to drag Stephanie back in here.
I think that's true, but yet again, this is something that Stephanie should be answering because I kind of am not as familiar with it.
All right, so Stephanie Marshall is back in here from M3 Marshall Contracting and Masonry. Stephanie, your thought on it?
Well, I do know that the mall rebricking project was given to Imperial Masonry, which is not from this area. They're from Maryland. I do not personally know whether or not they have non-American citizens working for them. As a business owner, the Hispanics that I do have working for me are documented. Their Social Security numbers are run through the State Department. So as far as the State Department is concerned, they are legally able to work here in the United States. If there is any company that is employing Hispanics illegally, I believe that they should have an ICE raid.
Well, let's jump off the Hispanic part of it, because I have several Hispanics who work for me, and they're, you know, completely legal. They're wonderful people, as well as being tremendous employees. But you said that Imperial was not from our area, so at a time when I have two construction business owners in the room who are letting local employees go, is it more important for the city of Charlottesville on a publicly bid project to look for the lowest bid overall or to look for the lowest bid or maybe not even the lowest, but the best bid from a local business?
I don't think anyone should go look for the lowest bid. You surely don't want to go to a hospital that has been built by the lowest bid. You don't want your children to go to school in a school that was built by the cheapest contractor. So that part of it, to me, is I don't believe that they should. I'm not saying that they should give preferential treatment to local businesses, but all of us should get a fair shake at the whatever job is going on. And as far as the Hispanic side of it, I'm half Spanish, so, you know, you can take that out of the equation as well, Ray.
Elizabeth, thanks, because I think that brought up several important parts of the conversation. 11:56 here on the wake-up call. This is WNRN Charlottesville and WNRS FM Sweetbriar Amherst Lynchburg. And Blue Ridge Graphics is also one of the businesses that's allowing us to be on air today. You can find them at Meade Avenue and East High Street, serving Charlottesville with custom T-shirts, sportswear, and professional graphic design since 1979. That's Blue Ridge Graphics, 296-9746, and at brgtshirts.com. Just a few minutes left if you want to call in with your quick question or comment, 979-0919-1877-WNRN-ROCKS at noon. Drew Thompson is here with Les Temps Perdus for the alternative 80s and 90s music. Amy Keenan in the room from Casey Concrete. Stephanie Marshall here from M3 Marshall Contracting and Masonry. Amelia Williams here, formerly employed by Pharmaceutical Research Associates, and now with Inc.
Inkville.biz.
Inkville.biz.
Writing and editing business.
See, if I only knew how to write or type, then I would have all that information in front of me, which is why I have no clue how I'm still employed. Amelia, you were talking about looking for work and the fact that you have a few of the nonprofits are paying, have offers, not necessarily to you, but have opportunities out there looking for positions to fill at a much lower pay. Do you feel that, you know, you have two kids, you're, I don't know your age and I don't want to expect you to shout it out over the air, but do you feel that someone who's not just out of college, that you might be asked to take a lower pay because of your age? Do you think that that plays a part in the job search?
Because of my age? Well, gosh.
Well, age in general. You know, Nancy called in earlier because she had been laid off. I'm sure that there are the employees from the two contracting companies here. That may be slightly different because of, skills that are hard to, I don't know how long it takes to teach a mason their particular job. But if it's you versus a 25-year-old for a position that's out there, to get the job, might you have to take a lower pay?
Well, if I wanted that job, I guess it would be a job that would fit my qualifications. I mean, a 25-year-old doesn't have my background and my experience. A 25-year-old doesn't have my maturity level to be able to run a program or manage people. So I understand that the nonprofit and not-for-profit world operate at a lower overhead, and I have worked in that environment before, and I appreciate it. And in fact, I'm kind of excited about the service aspect of getting back into that, and not working for a sort of mega company. So that I understand, but if somebody thinks that they're going to get the same job out of a 25-year-old or somebody recently graduated that they are for me, they're just mistaken.
What if they are saying to themselves, because of the economic situation, I can hire this person for a much lower rate than I might have been able to get a year and a half ago? And they put you in that position because of that situation.
I haven't seen that happening in the instances where I've had actual interviews or had contact with employers. That I don't see that going on. I see them still looking for the best fit for the job. Now, if they think that they can find somebody who has way less experience and is going to have incredibly lower salary expectations, who could also do what they're looking for, yeah, that's the savvy business choice, isn't it? So,
I think the word noticed, that I would use would be sad.
Well, I haven't noticed age discrimination. I mean, maybe it's happening, and I'm not aware of it, because who's going to say, you know? One of the things that I do notice, though, is that people want to know, for professional level jobs, they want you to tell them what your salary expectations are, and I don't. That's not a question I'm required to answer. You get me in the room and you offer me the job, and then we'll talk about money.
All right, folks. Unfortunately, we have to finish up. It is 12 o'clock. Something I found to be an incredibly educational, entertaining, and emotional conversation. I hope you did as well. Thanks very much to Stephanie Marshall, Amy Keenan, and Amelia Williams for sharing what effectively is an important part of their lives with us for the hour. Thank you, ladies. Drew Thompson up next with Les Temps Perdue. Next week, Lee Channing will be here on Mother's Day, as we have one of the Charlottesville psychics will be in the room, and I'm sure the phones will be ringing off the hook. See you then.
This has been your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday, and by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane, Exxon gasolines, and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at abstractme@AOL.com or at wakeupcall@WNRN.org. The Wake Up Call is produced by Sean McCord. Tune in again next Sunday morning at 11 for The Wake Up Call, only on WNRN.